This is Marketing Jam, a show featuring the brightest minds in marketing.
Welcome to this week's show. I am so excited to introduce you to Candy. Word of warning, you may get very hungry on the show because we're talking about food. So, Candy, I've got to say, I got introduced to the world of HelloFresh, which is where you work and where you market, by a podcast, actually. Listening to Malcolm Gladwell's podcast, where he talked about Blue Apron, which is the American version of a meal delivery kit. And I was so excited about this concept and this idea, being a busy working dad, four children. So I went online to order, and Blue Apron didn't exist in Canada. So I discovered the HelloFresh family, and that's how I got introduced.
That's amazing. Well, first of all, thanks for having me here, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Secondly, congratulations on four children. I cannot imagine. But I'm really glad that HelloFresh in some small way has played a role in your family life. Certainly, that's a part of our core audience, and we like to have a lot of fun with our family customers.
Yeah, and it's fun to think of like the fruit of American podcasts and whatever Blue Apron's doing. You guys have reaped this marketing benefit. Because I then ordered it, I got addicted because I thought this was so cool. And it was, the best thing was I'd come home from work and I'd feel like I had a sous chef. Someone had prepped all my food and I'd unpack the box and I'd be like, this is amazing. I'm on TV with all these little jars and containers. And then the second thing, HelloFresh introduced me to so many incredible new ingredients, like vegetables I'd never used before, pastas I've never used, cooking styles I've never done before. So I just... it was very nice. It was a very nice thing to come home to at the end of each day.
Oh, well, thank you. That's so nice to hear. I feel like I need to like record this myself for a customer testimonial or something that I could kind of have the right to reuse that. No, but definitely, like, even just to talk about my own personal journey into HelloFresh, like I also started as a customer of the product myself. I mean, I've always loved cooking and I was one of those typical time-strapped downtown condo dwelling professionals who just love cooking, was a bit of a foodie, you know, followed all sorts of like foodie influencers on social media, but just never really kind of was able to get myself together to like consistently cook 6-7 nights a week, and stumbled across HelloFresh and Chef's Plate, tried it. I think similar experience to you, just like that first, I think that first unboxing was like just so much fun and like such a delight. And for me personally, and this was years before I even joined the company, like it all of a sudden turned like dinner time and this like stressful act of grocery, like it kind of flipped it upside down. And all of a sudden that unboxing was like kind of like a really fun moment of like delight. So I totally share your sentiment around just like stumbling across the brand and trying it out. And then it's a habit that sticks over time.
And I thought I was being extra smart in that I would keep the recipes of my favorite recipes that you guys sent me. And I thought, man, I'm going to remake this one day. I'm going to find the ingredients, but I just never did. I thought like, this is so smart because I'm getting all these new meals in my life. And maybe some people have, maybe they got organized and they created a binder and put it in there. But it's just, you keep coming up with new recipes, even fun little perks. Like I remember one week it came with little chocolates. If you ordered a certain meal, it came with a little chocolate, which is a fun little perk for dessert for the family.
Yeah. And it's like, I think you hit the nail on the head on something really, really interesting, which is the fact that like food intrinsically is fun. And I think there is almost like a bit of like a cultural revolution where maybe, maybe 20, 30 years ago, it was just about like feeding the family and it was a lot more of a functional benefit. But I think even now with whether it's with kids or adults, like we tend to think of food in a much more like pleasurable way. It's a lot of fun. And to your point, like it makes it a really fun creative springboard for our product team as well as our culinary team, because there's just so many opportunities to delight, to please customers. To your point, throwing that little chocolate into the box, like I think the ideas become endless after a while, which makes our jobs fun.
Yeah. And as a dad and, he loves kids and right before mealtime, they can get a little crazy. So, but the way that you've set everything up is they can be involved and not make a major mess. You're not dealing with big knives and crazy instruments because you can even get kits that are prepped quite well. And so they're simply just opening a container and dumping it in, right? Opening a container and dumping it, mixing it up. And so just even having that as an option has been really cool because the kids can get involved and they can see the art and the craft of cooking a meal. And then they appreciate the meal even more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's, I think sometimes too, like, obviously there's the taste of food and everything needs to be like delicious and tasty and new flavors to your point. But I think sometimes we forget we like eat with our eyes too. And I think that's the one thing that's, like I've experienced personally is, you know, I tend to sort of cook, if left to my own devices, I will cook the same like three meals over and over and over again. And every single plate tends to be like a different shade of brown versus mm-hmm. I know our culinary team like really tries to play up not just the flavors, but also the color. Like it should just feel mm-hmm. and look appetizing and energetic as soon as you pull it out of your box. And you're so right. Like if you have kids, like you can have a lot of fun with like the mise en place with everything out on the kitchen counter and getting them to learn about colors and vegetables and it just making it more of like a family activity versus like a chore to put food on the table.
Yeah, no, it's been really fun. One thing, and I don't know if I haven't seen this yet, but wine pairings. Have you started offering that yet? As like, if I order certain kits, you'll then suggest wines I can order from my local BC liquor store or the Ontario liquor store.
Yeah, you know, we've done some light partnerships with alcohol brands in the past. We try to be quite careful because we just have so many different flavors and recipes on our menu. Like right now on HelloFresh, we're up to about 22 recipes per week on the menu. And so trying to find the right pairings for each flavor profile, like you might have a Middle Eastern dish versus, you know, versus like a Japanese dish versus like some exotic burger. So sometimes hard to find like specific pairings for each, but we have dabbled a little bit with like alcohol brand partnerships. And I actually spent close to a decade at Labatt Breweries as well. So did a lot of sort of like fun experimentations with like, you know, beer and food pairings and things like that. So, you know, maybe more on the horizon for sure.
That's awesome. And now that there's a little more liberty in liquor delivery now in the provinces. Yeah. One thing I've noticed though is I became a member. I joined the HelloFresh family thanks to Chef's Plate. I kept getting postcards after postcard after postcard of other meal delivery kits. And so as a dad and trying to be wise and making a decision of who to kind of go with, I tried all the different ones. So I've literally tried every meal delivery kit out there, even some small startup vegan, vegetarian meal delivery kit. I tried it. Again, I've since come back to HelloFresh just with on quality and ease of use and the user interface was incredible. But postcards, do you guys do that now? Like, are you finding they work? And you always offer the free. It's like three free kits seem to be kind of the call to action always and trial this, and trial this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it, so I guess it's a two-part question. The first, do we still do direct mail or postcards? Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There is, especially for a brand and a product that goes into your home, there is sort of a nice linearity to like a piece of postcard goes in your home. And so we are selling you a product that goes in your home as well. So definitely still a really great advertising and acquisition channel for us. And then
it works for me. I saw those postcards. Yeah. And it's one of those, you don't often hear brands that are still embracing and really using the value of DM. That's smart.
Yeah. And I would say like, even like when I first started in marketing, like DM and direct mail just, you know, was almost like I think when I started, it was almost seen as like the archaic thing to do. Mm-hmm. But I would say now, like, there's just been so much leaps and bounds made with like, you know, data and the richness of the data. Like you can overlay like, you know, household income, you can overlay different demographics. And so you get to get a lot more targeted, even though it's an offline channel. So I know like we have like data analysts that we throw at, you know, how we parse out our direct mail deliveries and programs, and we're constantly running like A/B tests. So it's kind of interesting. Like I would say direct mail's almost had a little bit of a nice like renaissance or resurgence just with the availability of data these days.
And I think Canada Post likes to call it smart mail now.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely not dumb, that's for sure.
So tell me what other methods you guys are doing that's working that you're finding like kind of trend-wise that you're seeing people respond to when it comes to the meal delivery kit world.
Yeah. Geez, it feels like we're trying everything these days. I mean, I think, you know, like, so my group, my department, you know, definitely handles everything full funnel. So we will do sort of your more like traditional above the line, like big media buys, like, hopefully some of your listeners have seen our TV spot. You know, certainly out of home is a big bet for us as well. So we kind of have like the traditional above the line buys, as well as I would say your typical like bottom funnel to acquire customers. So a lot of digital, a lot of paid social, SEO, SEM, you know, display, native, programmatic. It feels like we're sort of always dabbling and trying in everything just because, I mean, if nothing else, we've seen in 2020, like consumer preferences and media consumption habits change so quickly on a dime. So we're always testing. And quite often, if there's something that we tested, maybe like 2 years ago or 18 months ago that didn't work, you know, probably not too many months will go by before we say like, well, it's been like 12 months, like let's test it again. So
that's awesome. And I think just for clarity and full disclosure, this is a purely editorial interview. I'm just a big fan, just so there's no confusion. But because the team at HelloFresh knew that we were doing this interview, they're offering $80 off your first purchase, including free shipping for your first box if you use the code MARKETINGJAM at checkout. You can also go to the landing page, hellofresh.ca/marketingjam, which is very exciting. So we'll see how many go, and we can measure it because that's going to be measurable.
Exactly.
We'll have a link in the podcast. I often, here's for me just as a user, I don't often, like I love listening to podcasts, but I don't often ever click the link in the podcast. Or I'll often get influenced by something like, I was saying these glasses actually that I'm wearing that you can't see if you're just listening, but are these blue lens glasses. I saw a post by Caitlin Bristow, who was on The Bachelor. Follow her on Instagram for purely research reasons. She's from Vancouver here. And I was like, those are awesome. I need blue light glasses. I'm on the computer a lot. So I went to iBuyDirect. I actually forgot the code she was providing because it was some code for 30% off. But I saw that if I signed up for their e-newsletter, I got 20% off. And I was like, oh, that's good enough. So I signed up for that, got the discount, ordered the glasses. Even though I was purely influenced by Caitlin Bristow's Instagram post, they're going to see the attribution as, you know, pop-up discount.
Totally.
Yeah. Totally. So for you, how are you monitoring and managing these attributions? Because, you know, especially out of home, especially podcast marketing, how do you kind of track that and evaluate?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And thanks for the shout out and discount code as well. We're certainly super excited for hopefully a few folks listening to try one of our HelloFresh boxes. In terms of data and tracking and figuring out what's success, I would say... there is no perfect system. And we've probably heard this from like every marketing leader in the world. Like there is no perfect system with like, is it multi-touch attribution? Is it last click? Then you get into above the line or offline. Like sometimes that's even harder. You know, we do have certain advantages being an online driven direct to consumer company in that, you know, exactly how you did it just now, there is a coupon code and that's highly trackable. So because the purchase does happen online, it makes it a little bit easier for us. But in terms of like the different, I would say like methodologies of tracking for purchase. Like we tend to just try to do everything. So whether it's media mix modeling with like heavy, you know, data analytics or multi-search attribution models or just last click or even just looking at like a Facebook like ad platform, we try to just look at everything and from there draw insights, draw trends and just continue monitoring and iterating as we go.
That's awesome. For you, what are you excited about for 2021 and kind of marketing and kind of promotions that are happening and that you're excited to try out and maybe kind of watch and see what maybe other brands are doing as well?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, what am I excited for 2021? I'm just excited for 2020 to be over on a personal level.
Yeah.
I think I was watching like something with like the comedian, like John Oliver, and he was saying it's like really a suboptimal time to be a human. And I kind of agree on a personal level, but I would say like super excited for 2021. Like I think it just, 2021, like for us in the meal kit space brings just as many unknowns as a global pandemic did in 2020. So what I would say is I'm just excited for, you know, we are looking at like different launches. We're continuing to experiment on the product side of things. We have some big plans on the brand and performance acquisition side, but I'm actually just kind of in a weird twisted way excited for marketing to get harder next year in a way, because there's just as many unknowns. We have lots of competitors out there, people coming into entering the market as a new category player. And so I think as we you know, in a way, start seeing a bit of a right sizing of the economy and hopefully a bit of a return to normal. I think that is probably the big question for a lot of e-com players, which is that like we all probably got like I heard somewhere on a different podcast that like, you know, e-commerce as like an industry probably got a 10-year boost with the pandemic because all of a sudden everyone was stuck at home and need delivery. And so as we get into next year, is there going to be a right sizing? Are people going to go back to pre-COVID habits or have some of these habits started sticking? So for us, it's just making sure we have tight plans in place, that we're making the right bets, but also that we have, you know, making sure we have like plan Bs and plan Cs and plan Ds and all the way down the alphabet.
Yeah, because you are the alternative to grow. You could grocery shop and get it sent to your home, or you could get the meals prepped, planned, recipe'd out, and kind of include some diversity as well to your meal plan.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like, you know, certainly, you know, it's a bit of a war for dinner time, I guess you could call it. And like, our hope is that because the circumstances are such that there's been so much trial of the meal kit space induced this year, that we're hoping that people, you know, when they've tried their first meal, their second meal with us, that they start to understand the true benefit and the differences versus grocery, because it really, I think if you look surface level, for sure, it's like, it's groceries in a box. But I think if you've tried a number of our meals, then you start to understand there's a real power to the convenience, the stress-free lift that we do, especially for parents who have to get stuck in this weekly cycle of meal planning. You have, you know, multiple children, they all have different taste preferences. One likes bananas, the other hates potatoes. And so, you know, a lot of the research that we've seen, and even just anecdotally talking to our customers, we know that a lot of the benefit we bring is not only like freshness and balanced diets, but it's also bringing the fun back into cooking. It's bringing families back together. And it's sort of lifting a lot of that like cognitive load for parents that, you know, have to deal with meal planning and grocery planning every single week. So
that's really exciting.
Some of these things stick.
I know that if you ask me who is my favorite child, it'd be an impossible question to answer. But I want to know, of all the kits you've gotten, maybe what's a highlight or one of your favorites that's come in the mail for you?
Yeah, it's funny because it is a question I get pretty often from friends and family, especially once they learn that I was working at this company. Probably my most typical response is the fact that it would be my last HelloFresh meal, which is kind of a bit of a cop-out answer, but definitely true in that I think that is some of the value proposition we bring, which is that you every single meal kit that you open, you get to try new flavors. Like, I never thought I would be consistently cooking like Middle Eastern dishes. I used to be pre-HelloFresh, I used to be super gun-shy about touching any of those spices because it just wasn't a flavor profile that I felt confident cooking in. So I would say probably my last HelloFresh meal. But I would say in general as well, probably an old faithful of mine that I keep going back to is all of the burgers that we offer on our menu, because they tend to be, I mean, we typically have, there's always a taco recipe every single week in the menu. There's always a burger recipe, but it's different versions. And I love that our culinary chef team is able to sort of take such a staple, which is like, you know, you're all American or you're all Canadian burger, and put a bit of a twist on it. So like, I think, you know, I had one recently with like, that was like very much like Japanese inspired burger, which is super interesting. And then the next week it could be like a Greek inspired burger. So I would say probably the burgers are some of my favorites.
That's awesome. And for you personally, apps that you love going on to, books or e-newsletters or podcasts that you want to recommend to other marketers?
Yeah. Let's see. I love reading. So I've been getting really into a lot of different biographies of different leaders. And I just find that, you know, there's lots of management books you can read. And certainly there's a few I peruse and would recommend. But I just find there's like something so fascinating about biographies and understanding how leaders think. So I read the, you know, Michelle Obama book. That's been amazing. Not too long ago, I read Shoe Dog, founder of Nike, and I found that fascinating, just the fact that he's been able to create demand for an entire industry that didn't basically exist before Nike. So lots of lessons learned there. And then actually, it's funny, like right at the start of the pandemic, I read, I think it's called like The Hard Thing About Hard Things, written by Ben Horowitz, who's an amazing Silicon Valley tech leader and now investor. And it was just ironic timing in that I had picked up the book. It was about his experience with the startup world and going from startup to scale up. And he talked a lot about crisis management. So it was ironic that I happened to pick the book up just as the pandemic was unfolding. And he had all sorts of stories to share around how do you lead during peacetime versus how do you lead during quote unquote wartime for a business. So lots of different sort of inspiration and books that I draw from, and Yeah, it's and there's no time like the present during a pandemic to be doing lots of reading.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Any kind of e-newsletters or podcasts that you recommend that you think are really helpful for marketers?
Yeah, I mean, e-newsletters. So there's a great training program also out of Silicon Valley called Reforge. They're kind of like an online certification and training program. You can learn like advanced growth, product marketing. There's a bit of a tech bent. And so a number of us at the company took, you know, a few different courses, and they have a great e-newsletter as well as a webinar series where they bring in speakers from like Airbnb, Apple, you know, Netflix, Amazon. So they're fantastic as like a e-resource. And then for podcasts, I find I dabble a lot with podcasts. The one I really consistently stuck with for marketing is called Perpetual Traffic. And so it just dives super, super deep into like a bit more of like technical Facebook buys. Yeah. Just because I mean, I find if I don't like, if it's been 2 weeks and I haven't read up on the Facebook algorithms, I'm already like behind. So that's a great podcast because they really go deep.
That's awesome. And for you, the role that you're playing right now and kind of advice to someone that wants to get into the role that you are in, what's your advice as far as like schools they should be going to or education they should be getting or kind of, you know, ways to kind of get into positions within large companies like HelloFresh or Anheuser-Busch?
Right. Yeah. No, I've definitely kind of done a bit of a zigzag in my career for and it's been a lot of fun. Like I've worked at big companies, small companies, tech startups, online websites, all the whole shebang. I would say probably if there's like a couple of consistent themes, I would say through my career that got me to where I am today, it would be first and foremost, sort of saying yes to everything. So there would be times where in my career, it would seem like if you looked at my LinkedIn profile, it's probably like the most disorganized LinkedIn profile ever. Like I would have spent a little bit of time in like supply chain, a little bit of time in like finance, done like analytics projects, then moved to brand management, then, you know, moved to like sponsorship marketing and did sales for a while out of Halifax. So I think, you know, I was lucky early on in my career to have multiple mentors tell me like there's no need to race to the top, like use the first 5, 6, 7 years of your career to really build that foundation and go lateral, like get as many different types of experiences as possible, whether it's industry, company size, or just function. So, you know, I figure they were smarter than me, took their advice and tried a whole bunch of different things, always said yes whenever I got a tap on the shoulder for a new opportunity. And so I think that really helps me today, especially in a role like this where, you know, you do need to talk to your operations lead, you do need to talk to your product lead, and, you know, having spent some time in the trenches in some of those areas just helps you speak a bit of the common language. So I would say the first is, you know, say yes to everything, try everything and build that foundation. And then I think the second is just like making sure you're not afraid to fail. I think, you know, I consistently see, and sometimes when I mentor different, you know, new grads and things like that, there's all this like, and it's very different these days, but a lot more eyes, a lot, you know, social media, everything is being monitored, everything is being tracked, but, you know, making sure you have a bit of that, like almost false bravado to not be afraid to fail, like, you know, take that, you know, whether it's, you know, pushing to take on that project that you have, have no business trying or completely not qualified for, but you're just going to be so much better for it. And I think for me, if I see a consistent trend in my own career, it's because I just sort of would throw myself into things that I probably had no business trying to do and just trying to figure it out and build the plane as it flies.
That's awesome. That's very, very inspiring. And now for you, going into 2021, you know, a lot of the people listening to the show are working at brands or are representing brands as an agency in kind of they call it a you know, red market, right? Blue market, where it's like totally, in the ocean, totally. there's no one else there. And it's really simple. There's one option. But for you, there's so many options. And it seems like almost a new option popping up every month almost. So how do you stand out? How do you stand out amongst a very red market and a very noisy market?
Yeah. Do you mean for a brand or for an agency?
For your brand. Yeah. So what are you guys doing? And then what can we learn from that? What are you guys doing as HelloFresh and Chef's Plate to say, hey, we are the far superior product and you need to try us and, you know, discover that we're the ones that you want to get hooked on.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's definitely, man, marketing today is so different from marketing even just like 10 months ago. It feels like a lot of the time, the rule book for marketing has been like completely thrown out the window. So I can't say we're like, you know, leading edge or world class. I would say we're still trying to figure it out like everyone else. Like the problems are very real and the struggles every day can be very real and very daunting. So not to say we're an expert, but I think we have landed on a few nuggets that have worked through the pandemic and we believe will continue to work throughout. Like I would say, you know, one thing is, I mean, we just did a complete global rebrand. So new logo, new colors, everything. And while that is just looking at the visuals, it actually was interesting timing wise, because it did signal a bit of like a bolder, fresher start. So I think, you know, in terms of your question on even like, how do you stand out? It's like, well, first and foremost, like, let's start with the foundational stuff, like the visuals, your logo, is it bold enough? Does it like physically stand out? Like if I'm seeing on someone's doorstep, a HelloFresh box versus a Good Food box versus like a competitor's box, are you visually standing out first and foremost? And then I would say the second thing that, you know, we hang on to as a pillar is really understanding our relationship with risk taking. Mm-hmm. And so in a world like you mentioned, a red market, where are you going to place those big bets where it's completely an unproven idea? You kind of have to just maybe hold hands and jump a little bit. But then also in terms of understanding your relation with risk, like where are there certain solutions or channels or campaigns or programs where you can actively de-risk better and more than your competitor? So for example, like, you know, where the amount of due diligence we're doing now on like risk assessments for like even like partnership contracts, partnership activations is so much more heightened than maybe the way we were doing them like a year ago. And so understanding what's your appetite for risk and what's your point of view on risk for which channel and which campaign and dialing it up or down as needed, I think has helped us weather the storm during this red market, but also like as we get into next year, I think it puts us in a good spot.
It's really exciting. Really exciting. And I think what I like so much about your marketing as well is that you're so confident in your product that part of the marketing is try it. You know, here's a trial, right? And so much of it is about that trial, right? And I think once you try it and realize the process, because it's hard to describe, right? It's hard to describe it and get, you know, people to fully invest up front. But once you try it, that's the experience that you see. That's the taste. That's the flavor. That's the fun that people can enjoy with it.
Yeah, no, Darren, you're so right. Like, and it's actually so nice to hear that, like, you tried HelloFresh personally, and then you went and tried a whole bunch of our competitors, and then you went back to HelloFresh, which is like, man, I really need to record this for a customer testimonial on our YouTube or something like that. But yeah, you're right. Like, first and foremost, it starts with confidence in your product, and like, I can't take any credit. We have like an amazing culinary team as well as like a product and ops team that delivers the physical product. They really have built like a model that we feel like is bulletproof. But also it's, I mean, confidence, I think in a way too, like confidence in your product is doing the little things for your product when no one is watching. Yeah. And it's sort of funny, like we always joke about this internally. Like, so it's not a secret, but like, you know, a lot of our proteins, like our beef, pork, chicken, we choose to pay more with our suppliers on our local farms to get raised without antibiotics, because we just believe in sustainable sourcing. It's like, you know, it checks so many marks, from like feeding your family something healthy perspective to like, you know, making sure we're working with local farmers. But those are sort of some of those choices that you make on the back end, that maybe those are the actions we do where no one's watching, that hopefully we think when someone opens that box, we're not shouting it from the rooftops, but you see and feel and understand that there's like inherent quality built into the product. So you're so right. Like a lot of our focus is just getting people to try, because it's just a pretty dramatic, you know, change from like your average grocery shop. But you're right. It all starts with the product for sure. And it helps us in marketing when the product's strong.
And fun bonus, you get some great freezer bags. So if you ever need freezer bags in the summer when you're going to picnics, you get them. It's included for free. Okay, question for you. And this is something that I'm curious if you guys have considered. When I do meals, especially with the kids or just if I'm on my own, I'll put on a Spotify playlist, whether it's Italian or Mexican or whatever it is, depending on the food that I'm making. Whether it's Greek, I'll put on some Greek music. Have you considered in your recipes having a link to a Spotify playlist that people can listen to, depending on the type of food that they're making?
That, first of all, that is an awesome idea. And you know what? Spotify is definitely one of those marketing teams that we so, so admire at HelloFresh. Like, they are so good with data-driven marketing. Like, I think, we're recording this and it's December, and I'm sure everyone would have just in the last couple of weeks gotten there, like, what did I listen to on Spotify? So they're just such good data-driven marketers, but they do it in a way that delights. So we certainly take a lot of lessons from their marketing team. So yeah, not on the immediate roadmap, but first of all, I love the idea, but we're always looking at just understanding how can we make the meal prep experience more of an experience, more sensory in a lot of different ways. So
yeah,
maybe I'll steal that idea.
Yeah, and the next idea, the box that it comes in is a really great box. And so whether it's ideas, it could come with a little sheet or a link to an online how to turn the box into like a cat house or crafts you can make with your kids with those boxes, because they're high quality boxes that can be used for some fun crafts, including the little silver, I don't know, you can call it the silver liner.
Yeah.
Man, I made some robot outfit things with that, and I made like a shield with that before. So if you ever need some like craft ideas of what to do with the, I don't know what you call it, silver foil, coal printer.
Exactly. It's a
huge Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that. Well, like it's inherently like a fun product, and a lot of our families or a lot of our customers are families. And so, I know our social media team loves monitoring the airwaves to see what people are doing with their meals, with their boxes. So yeah, no, definitely. I may have to steal a few of these ideas and tips.
Oh, Candy, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, right back at you. This is a lot of fun. I was doing a budgeting meeting right before this, so I far prefer doing this than a budget meeting.
That's
thank you for the invite.
And Candy, of course, again, for all of our listeners, Marketing Jam gives you $80 off and free shipping on your first order of HelloFresh. Link in the notes. You can click out. We have our own even URL. It's amazing. You guys got so organized and provided one for us along with the discount code. And like many, you may just forget about both of those and never click on the link. But I'm sure you'll find all sorts of other deals out there. Maybe you'll even get a smart mail piece in the mail that gives you a
absolutely. A there you go.
That's awesome. Candy, thanks again.
Darian, thanks.
So thanks everyone for joining us this week on our show, and we'll see you next time. Thanks everyone.
Thanks for listening to Marketing Jam. If you enjoyed the show, head over to our YouTube or Facebook and give us a thumbs up, and visit iTunes to leave a rating and review. Thanks again, and see you next time.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.